kind of where you're going right now, Shaq.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
There you hear Coach Mooch, Steve Mariucci. He thinks he knows what I'm trying to do. We'll see if he can figure it out when he sits down with us. On his way to our suite here in Dallas, Texas, in a fancy hotel. It's very exciting for us as the 2018 NFL Draft fast approaches. Coach David Shaw of the Stanford Cardinal on the way with Coach Mooch, former coach of the Cal Berkeley Bears, as well as, you know what Coach Mooch did. Also, Daniel Jeremiah moved the sticks. He's the biggest booking in, you know, it is true. He's the biggest booking, I think, in all the world right now with the draft just about nigh. So we're going to kibitz with him. And in the meantime, seated to my immediate right, two producers, Emma VP and Erica Tamposi. How's your Dallas experience been so far, Emma?
Oh, it's going well, Shaq. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's Shaq.
Oh.
I don't know why Coach Mooch loves calling me Shaq instead of Shaq, but he does.
I think I'm going to run with it.
All right, call me Shaq if you want.
All right, Shaq.
Hey, you guys, I saw some on social media. You guys went out and hit golf balls in Dallas, Texas. How'd that go?
I lost. Emma lost worse.
How do you lose? How can you just lose?
By being bad.
Driving range.
Being really bad.
You lost dignity.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I
yeah.
see.
Yeah.
I see.
You have to hit it into the targets, and Mark Brady, you know, all that money at the Woodland golf club paid off.
He does. Our boss, Mark Brady, yeah, he likes to play golf in his free time. Do you see the results? Do
yes.
you can you are does your esteem for him as a man go up watching him swing a golf club?
No doubt.
Is that true? Does it?
No.
No.
Yeah, he gave me some pointers actually. He was good. He didn't like, you know, throw it on us. It wasn't like, "Oh, you're doing this all wrong." That would have been a little too much. But every once in a while, he'd be like, "You know, Emma, keep your eye on the ball."
Shaq, I was beyond pointers. He didn't even look at me. Like, he told Erica, like, "Oh, like, look at, you know." Like, I was too far. No, nothing for me.
And he made you get, he said, "Emma, why don't you go get me and Erica a drink?"
Pretty much.
That's what he did?
Yep.
That seems almost disrespectful.
Yeah. Well.
Speaking of disrespectful, I don't want to go into it. I covered it on my flight out. But, I mean, the people all around. The flight hadn't even taken off yet. And I looked to my immediate right, and the lady already had her shoes and socks off. And I almost vomited. And then I look one row ahead of me, caddy corner. There's a guy, and he's got his flip-flops on. And I knew what that meant.
Ugh.
I knew what was coming. Next thing I know, he's got the flip-flops off, and now he's got his feet drawn into his body so that the bottom of his feet are on the seat.
Ugh. That's despicable.
Despicable.
Sad
indeed.
You had that.
That's why they fly us first class.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm
so
glad for you guys.
Deal with that.
I guess
we are the broadcast, so.
We are the broadcast.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, yes. Good. Make sure you're following Emma VP. You know what, Emma VP? You don't give your Twitter handle out enough.
At the Emma VP.
And Tamposi?
Tamposi NFL.
Yes, they do really stupid work with their segments.
Did you
see
Emma's One Bite Taco?
I did see that.
Yeah,
see that.
Informative.
Yes, make sure you're checking those out on the Twitter and on the Facebook or however the kids like to consume things these days, because they're, like I say, really, really dumb little segments. And you want to see those. So, all right, let's get to it now. Let's begin the draft talk. Three cone drill, all that jazz with our pal from Move the Sticks, Daniel Jeremiah.
He's Dave Dameshek.
All right, here he is. We can travel the world over. We can try and track down the chief expert on what's going to happen at the 2018 NFL draft. But you know what? Think globally, act locally. Let's kibitz right in the neighborhood. Even though we are in Dallas, Texas now, not back in Culver City up in Studio 66. One of the greats in the business, or perhaps the best in the business right now. He is Move the Sticks. He's also our pal, Daniel Jeremiah. What's the poop? Welcome to the busiest week of your year.
I think it's been a while, Dave. I think it's been a while since we've been on the show.
Right.
I feel a little bit like the kid that went off to college, and I'm kind of back home visiting the folks right now because you are my podcasting father. So it's always, you know, it's enjoyable. I just feel like I hope you don't have a lot of rules. You know, I've been out of the house for a while now. Coming back in, you're putting a curfew on me and all that kind of stuff. It's a bit much.
No, you're kind of like the prodigal son. You know, I put you through college. You know, I have nothing to hang my head about. I'm not ashamed. It's good, solid work plumbing. You know, put food on the table and a roof over your head. But now you went off and you became an ocular surgeon or something like that. And now you're really rich and successful. And we're just happy to have you back under our roof.
But I do get the sense that if the presents aren't up to par, that you're looking down on me.
That's correct. Well, give us the present of knowledge right now, won't you?
What we got?
Well, first of all, before anything else, what do you make of a person? How would you evaluate this if this were a prospect you were talking to? What would you think of somebody who told you that he has decided to fully embrace the idea of just having one button-down shirt, but then buying six of them and just wearing the same one every day as I do now?
I appreciate the simplicity of it. It's basically like being a UPS driver full-time.
Yeah.
You know, I thought maybe you could mix in the short sleeve,
what?
You know, to go along with that. But the same fabric, same material, same buttons.
What can you denim do for
scissors.
You?
Just get some scissors and you're good.
I really am this generation's Jay Leno. That's my one concern. It's a little bit too much denim and jeans underneath.
But he's got more of this. I have the kind of the light denim.
Yeah,
that's more of a Jay Leno.
Yeah. Right, that's where I go hip. That's why mine's a little
bit. You darken it up a little.
A disastrous journey out here to Dallas, Texas. I don't want to get bogged down bellyaching about this. But not one but two people in my immediate space took their shoes and socks off. What do you think about that? Would that be a mark against somebody if it just so happened like Baker Mayfield's on my plane, he's two rows ahead, like, wait a second, he's got his bare feet out.
No, it's a major red flag. I'll be honest, I've had flights before where I've chosen to stand up in the back of the plane, which is totally against the rules. And the nice flight attendant said, can I help you with something? I said, just go walk by 16F, take a whiff. I can't. I can't sit there. She's very, very kind, very understanding. I stood up for an entire flight. I think it was probably 2.5 hours in the back of the plane until they said, you got to sit down for landing, and went back and sat down. I couldn't do it.
It's not even a, you know, I mean, listen, if it went that extra mile of stench being, it's not even that. It's just a repugnant bit of narcissism that you think you're at home and you're on a plane with, and not just, you're not around other human beings, you are literally in some cases pressed up against those human beings.
But look, while it's grotesque as you describe it, you can avert your eyes from a messy, ugly situation like we're talking about with no shoes. There's nothing you can do with your nose.
That's fair. You know what? Good point. Touche. Hey, let's talk about the draft a little bit. And everybody's chopping up these QBs this way and that. You and I both, I think I would say you and I mean, I'm the QB whisperer, let's be honest. I've had a couple of swings and misses, like on the Ryan Mallett infamy a few years ago. But for the most part, you and I usually park our cars in the same garage. Who is this Baker Mayfield jazz?
Yeah.
And he might be great. Mm-hmm. Maybe he'll be great. Same goes for Josh Allen. But those are the two guys out of the names that we're hearing that feel to me like they are much more, all due respect, much more likely to bust, mm-hmm. you know, feast or famine, those two guys. Is that right? Are any of these guys, first of all, bust proof or as close as you can get? Or who's most likely, if things get a little bit, start going in the wrong direction, things could blow up quick?
Well, I'll say none of them are bust proof. And I don't know really if any player is bust proof. And the situation matters for all these guys, no doubt. But I just think with Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen, especially, you know, if Josh Rosen can just stay healthy, at worst, you're talking about a double off the wall. I mean, I think they're going to be solid starters. I think they're going to be top half of the league starters, top 15 quarterbacks. I don't know. You know, Josh Rosen with his throwing ability could end up being a top 5 quarterback. I think Sam Darnold could be in that 5-10 range. But I don't feel like you're just going to totally swing and miss. Whereas with Allen and Mayfield, hey, you might hit it out of the stadium, but you might swing and miss. There's just a lot more variance in what could happen there. And I think the situations for those two specifically matter. I mean, matter in a big way. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen has got to go someplace where they're going to be patient with him. Do not do what Cleveland did last year with DeShone Kizer and take somebody who's not ready, put him out there, and he's gone within a year. So you got to be somebody that's patient with him. And then when you look at Baker Mayfield, you got to have an offense that is quick rhythm passing. You talk about a pure West Coast system. Get the ball out of your hands where he's going to be comfortable there.
I'm fascinated by situation matters with these guys. You had the big thing. We talked about it for we talked about it ad nauseum 3-4 weeks ago when Jim Moore was on your show, and he seemed to suggest. I mean, well, he's equivocated now, but the it was him advocating for Sam Darnold over his guy Josh Rosen. I guess you know what? Let's do it this way. I want to do this because I think what really will illuminate who is situation proof, who you could put somewhere, and no matter the situation, there's a pretty decent chance that this kid's going to make it. I know it's a little more difficult to assess with a quarterback versus a running back, let's say, but let's do this. I mentioned this to you when you and I were sitting down.
I'm cutting off. Before you get to this,
all right.
Because I don't want to let the thing go, but what you said about Coach Moore, because I want to say something about
that. Oh, yes,
go ahead. Just real quick. Having scouted for two teams in that division with Cleveland and Baltimore, and he didn't say it this way, but kind of one of the ways I
really do want to hear your opinion.
That's why I wanted to share this, because having been in those rooms in that division, Sam's durability, his thickness, his ruggedness, to me, fits in that division. So that's kind of how I interpret it. Because, look, we were there. You had Flacco. You had Carson Palmer. At the time, we were looking for a quarterback. We had Steve McNair at that time, even at the end of his career. I mean, he's a big, strapping dude. So we felt not just the weather and all that kind of stuff, but in that physical of a division, you had to have a strong, rugged quarterback to be able to just physically hold up there. And Sam Darnold, I mean, you watch him get hit 27 times against Ohio State, he gets up 27 times. He is a tough, rugged guy who's proven to be durable, and Josh has missed some time there. So that's how I interpreted that, but obviously it got interpreted in a million different ways.
Well, that's what I scoffed at, this thing of like, oh, he's a blue-collar kid. He'll fit in a blue-collar town. Like, what they want? They won't enjoy if a guy comes in there and just lights it up Marino style. Like,
nobody cares. Here's a question for you.
Oh, no, they're blue-collar folk. They don't like that kind
of stuff. I said this yesterday. Do you know what personality trait every great quarterback has in common?
Tell.
I'm asking because I have no idea, because there is no personality trait that they all share.
Really?
No, they're all different. No question. You can find quiet. You can find boisterous. You can find energetic. You can find kind of sleepy guys.
That's true. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers defines the more reserved kind of guy. Who is, though, since you've been doing this sort of thing, who is the QB, you say, situation matters? Who's the one whose situation didn't matter for? Or there are a few
Andrew Luck obviously comes into mind. I mean, just somebody that, okay, any kind of offense you want to run, you want to be able to move around, you want to be able to, you know, just be a pure pocket guy, you want to put a lot on their plate mentally, you want to operate quick. I mean, all that stuff. He checked every box.
By the way, do you think they're all right with Jacoby Brissett? Because, I'm not casting aspersions on Andrew Luck. I hope he comes back and is fine, but it assumes a great deal that this guy, I mean, it really is weird when you think about how certain the guys like you were about Andrew Luck, and here we are. I mean, that was 2012.
Yeah,
it's 2018. Yeah. It's like, we don't know. Yeah, he didn't play. He hasn't thrown a ball in a year.
That's the whole deal. He just hasn't been healthy at all.
Do they need to go for a QB? Or I guess they're
you got to know all the medical stuff there. But I just know they haven't been parting with Jacoby Brissett. There's been some reports out there. I know from talking to people around the league, there's a lot of people that really like Jacoby Brissett. So the fact that they're sticking with him right now at this point in time, and the fact that Sam Darnold hasn't thrown a football means there's got to be some concern there.
Is Kizer, you mentioned DeShone Kizer. I like him. I don't think he's
I'm not giving up on him. I'm not giving up on him.
Is he better by your estimation? Was he better at this time before the draft took place and we saw what happened? Did you hold him up higher than any of the five QBs?
No, I had him in the 30s last year, and the way DeShone Watson played last year was greater than I anticipated. I had him as a top quarterback, but I didn't have a huge grade on him. Mahomes, in obviously very limited action, played better than what I thought he would. I think resting him or sitting him at the beginning was a stroke of genius there, not to rush him at all, to give him some time. But I have this group much ahead of what we had last year.
If we redrafted 2017, would it shake out differently with the quarterback specifically?
Oh, I think so, yeah. I think Deshaun Watson would have been at the top.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's – what do you think about Mitch Trubisky? Because I've been catching heat from Bears fans because when we did the mock draft
– Bears fans are very defensive of Mitchell Trubisky.
Bears fans did not like me saying on the show that I thought that they will rue the day that they passed on Jamal Adams. Mm-hmm. I think he still is going to end up being the best player in that draft. But people don't like hearing that about their
Trubisky,
boy Mitch.
There's two fan bases out there I don't know that people are aware of. And I do believe that Trubisky, now they've gotten him some more help this year, I think you'll see him take a step forward. I think he's going to be fine. But if you say anything about Trubisky, they will come at you hard. The most underrated fan base in all of the NFL, Jonnu Smith. I dare you to talk about a tight end going to the Tennessee Titans, because the Jonnu Smith fan club will attack, and it is vicious. The way
that's
they attack.
Your one. I don't, you know.
You don't know they exist. It's like a silent army out there. And as soon as a tight end gets mentioned with the Tennessee Titans, the Jonnu Smith army will attack.
It's funny because, like, the dyed-in-the-wool, the old-school fan bases that are known for being edgy, Philadelphia comes to mind. Maybe it's because they're old-school. They don't use the newfangled technology to get after you. You know, they just throw full cans of beer at their foes down onto the ice. I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted.
We better get
hockey,
to this. We better get to your
we're
project.
We're getting to it.
I don't know
I
how much time we
something.
Have.
All right, we're
going. I got Andrew Howard standing up back there.
Is that right?
Oh, my gosh.
The PR czar?
We are on the clock. We got to
all right, let's go.
Go.
Okay. But yeah, but it's the newfangled teams. It's the Seahawks.
Yep.
The Falcons are like that too.
Ornery group.
Their fans are what are you getting so hot
it's an
about
angry
Falcons?
Bird, literally.
I know you're in Atlanta. Your teams haven't exactly done, you know, all the teams there, including the college one up the road in
what was
Athens.
The score again?
That was a which for
28-3.
Ugh. That was an unsolicited attack, and I'm sorry to the Falcons fans out there. All right, let's do this. I want to talk about, like I say, I think this will, I suspect at least, that this is going to reveal something, or maybe it'll just be a boring 3-4 minutes coming up here. So either way,
50-50.
You don't know until you hear it, so you can't really turn the show off until you hear
it. By the way, everybody behind the camera, I kind of know which way they're leaning on this one, but...
Look at that. Emma VP's already – is she napping? What's going on in the nightlife in Dallas? Come on, Emma VP. All right, here's what I want to do. I think this will tell us a great deal. Let's pretend that it is not the Cleveland Browns, and let's give every team a turn. Really, you don't want to be in this spot because it means you didn't play well but in the preceding year. But let's say – each of the 32 teams, let's give them their moment of Goodell walking up to the podium, the first overall pick of the 2018 draft. The Cleveland Browns select. Who do you think it's going to be? We'll start there.
Well, it's still up in the air. I mean, you see all this stuff about
who
Baker Mayfield. I have stuck with Sam Darnold through the whole process, and until I've got concrete information that it's not him, I'll stick with Sam Darnold.
And that is the one you would take, too.
That's who I would take as well.
All right.
So is this what we're doing? Oh, so who would they take? Well, all these teams.
That's correct. That's correct. You know, it would have been great if I would have written down on a piece of paper the 1 through 32 so I could
go by division. You can pick them up in your head.
No, I'm just going to – oh, yeah, I could do it divisional?
That's a little easy. I think that just with your mental capacity, I think that's probably the only way this is going to get done correctly.
Yeah, I'm a little too trusting of myself sometimes.
When we have to tease the podcast and it's like, what would 27 of the 32 teams do with the first pick?
By the way, I've been meaning to ask you that. Who do you like better, Bucky Brooks or you?
Oh, come on, that's an easy one. I didn't play in the NFL.
I'm with you, yeah. What do you make of the fact that he wears – is that a good thing to be Bucky Brooks on the back of his jersey?
Two names. It would have been better if he was a single-digit number, which they really couldn't do back there, because then you have the one number, two names, and you just market that hard.
Boy, would that be cool. Yeah. He thinks that's great, but I think it says it shows a lack of self-esteem. Like, I'm Bucky Brooks. So.
That's good. That's fair point.
All right. Here we go. Let's do it now. Next up. It is the New York Football Giants. I'm going to try to do it off the top of my head. I'll lose track after about five. But okay, the Giants have the first overall pick. Who are they taking?
And this is who I think they should take.
Okay.
Who would
be the best fit for the New York Giants?
I'll say Sam Darnold. Got a 37-year-old quarterback. So let's keep it rolling here. Got to get through these, Dave.
Okay.
Let's go.
At number three, the New York Jets.
Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold. At number four.
So anybody that needs a quarterback, I'm going to give him who I think the
best
quarterback
is. All right, I'm off the rails now because I don't want to start trying like how the Browns came by the pick and anything. Yeah. All right, I'm going to do it your way. Buffalo Bills.
The Buffalo Bills need a quarterback, so Sam Darnold.
Okay. I you know what? I think this is interesting, in fact, because obviously you have decided Sam Darnold is the best quarterback, but also regardless of fit and situation, this is emerging that Sam Darnold's the best of the group here. Next up, Miami Dolphins.
Miami Dolphins, I would take Sam Darnold because he's
would you really?
Yeah, he's a massive upgrade.
This is
me.
A team that went to the playoffs 2 years ago.
Ryan Tannehill staying healthy. I think I got a chance to get a premier quarterback. I don't think they have a premier quarterback. I do it.
I mean, if they take Baker Mayfield, I don't know what. I don't think that would be a great move for the Miami Dolphins, but we'll see with that one. All right, here we go. A team that that is going to have a 41-year-old quarterback this year. Breaking news, Don Yee has announced that Tom Brady does intend to play. I don't know why that was a story at all. But anyway, the New England Patriots, first overall pick.
I want to say you try and make a run at it this year, you would maybe take Chubb because he would, you know, immediately you go chase another Super Bowl right now. I think you got a 41-year-old quarterback. You got to take a quarterback. I would take Sam Darnold.
It's interesting because Corey Dillon was very good. He was a high-end, rugged runner. But I thought you might go Barkley.
They've plugged guys in there. They play with three or four different running backs, and they're fine.
But I do think that but to zig while the rest of the league, you know, is looking at how Belichick likes to do things, it would be interesting to have some high-end dynamite running back and see what he would do.
But they're a little bit of a prisoner of just how successful they've been offensively with whatever you put out there. And watching the Eagles go up and down the field, to me, if it wasn't Darnold, it would be Chubb. Mm.
All right. The Baltimore Ravens.
The Ravens, if they had the first pick, I think I would go quarterback.
Really? Wow. A man who has ties back to the Ravens organization says move on from five, eh?
It's been, missed the playoffs for the last 5 years?
Listen, well, you know, that's what we talked about. Let's get to the Cincinnati Bengals. On the mock draft show, I said take Lamar Jackson. I've caught a lot of heat from Bengals fans for that one. How dare I? How dare you? You understand you have defined mediocrity with Andy Dalton. There have been a couple of high points, but it's not like I don't know if you think you played in a Super Bowl or something. But, I mean, Andy Dalton is Andy. Yeah. You know, you can do better anyway. Your opinion here.
With Andy Dalton there, gosh, this one would be tougher for me. Because you got Joe Mixon, who I'm high on going forward into the future. With Cincinnati, I'll switch it up this time and I'll say they take Chubb. And they'll say they'll ride the Andy Dalton train a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer.
To their own detriment.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Steelers. Ooh, I think when you're this close to getting another one, and I could have said the same thing about the Patriots. But I just think that the Steelers might be a little bit more aggressive here and just take Saquon Barkley. And then that they could – we'll see what happens. He plays with Lev Bell for a year. Maybe Lev Bell doesn't show up. I don't know. But I say that selfishly because I would just love to see how they would make that whole thing work.
I mean, I feel like – I'm with you, but I feel like – Roquan or Darwin, I mean, of the guys I covet from where I sit as a Steelers fan at the back of the first round and knowing that neither one of those guys is going to fall that far, I do look at those guys and think if you're talking about need and the Steelers don't draft on need, but if they were going to, I would want one of those two guys.
Yeah, just you really don't take off-the-ball linebackers with the first pick. You just don't do it.
All right. You don't. All right, next up, the AFC South. Let's go with the Indianapolis Colts.
The Colts, Barkley. I think you take Barkley there.
Still even with the QB stuff,
yeah, I think you're still wishing and hoping there with Andrew. If Andrew gets back healthy, Andrew's better than all these guys.
Titans.
The Tennessee Titans. Again, I would go Barkley.
Okay, that's interesting.
Got a young quarterback.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
I would take Darnold. I think they win a Super Bowl with Darnold.
I guess that's a pretty easy one. And enough with this jive of like Blake Bortles is good enough. Like that when that's the premise, then you're trying to hide the guy by definition.
Yeah.
When you're he's not the worst thing that ever happened. Yeah. Houston Texans.
Houston Texans obviously have the quarterback. I would take Barkley. Best player in the draft. Plug him in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They would be scary if they would make that happen. And okay, now to the AFC West. Let's start it off with the Los Angeles Chargers.
The Chargers, you know, I would probably, and Phillip's still playing at a high level, but I would probably go with the quarterback for them.
But not any thought to Rose in there? I thought of any, you know, Sonny.
Yeah, but
SoCal.
Here's the thing. Like, if you're saying what would I do, and I the way I stack the quarterbacks, I'm going to take the top quarterback for me for all the teams that need a quarterback.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Kansas City Chiefs, and they've got great running back already. I would probably take Chubb.
I keep thinking that the Chargers are very quietly positioned to perhaps, unless the Raiders bounce back big,
yeah,
they might run away with that.
They could be, their defense is very, very talented, and they got an offense that scores a bunch of points.
That's why I thought, you know, I get you on the QB thing, but again, about a team that feels ripe. You know, it's the Chargers with 38-year-old Rivers. If you want to take a run at it, you get one more defensive piece like James and at the back end of that defense, somebody like that, to just
again, it just comes to what positions are worth a first round pick. That's a philosophical discussion.
Oakland Raiders.
Raiders Barkley.
Denver Broncos.
Denver Broncos Darnold.
Interesting. I think John Lynch, I mean, John Elway has put himself into a weird corner here.
I think he's kicking the quarterback thing down the road a little bit, personally. I think they take a position player. Or I think
that makes sense to
me.
Right?
To me, they're the favorite to get out, to trade out, would be the team.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me, because you've now put yourself in a position where you spend the money on Keenum. You drafted Paxton Lynch in the first round, just two drafts. So you can't now just keep obsessing over – I know it's the most important position, but you still can't just scuttle the rest of your needs by focusing on a QB and rolling.
Zero chance we get through all 32 teams.
We're getting through them all. Next up, it's America's team. We'll start right there. Dallas, Texas is where we sit. Yep. Who should they take?
Chubb. Okay. Another edge rusher, DeMarcus Lawrence. If you get him signed up, you're in good shape.
Washington Redskins.
I would take Barkley.
Okay. We took care of them gents, so now we will move on to the world champion, Philadelphia Eagles.
Philadelphia Eagles, I would take Barkley.
To the South we go, and let's start off with Superman and company, the Carolina Panthers.
Carolina Panthers, even though you draft Christian McCaffrey, I think because you can use him in so many different ways, I would take Barkley and let him compliment him.
Yeah, what a dangerous offense all of a sudden you would have there. Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay Bucks, Barkley.
New Orleans Saints.
New Orleans Saints, I would take a quarterback with Drew where he is right now, and the running backs are in great shape. Chubb would be a strong consideration there. And they actually love talented guards too. I mean, you look at their Super Bowl team, how good they were with Jarry Evans.
Well, the way they're built now, you would think
that. Who's the other guard? There's a big, huge physical guard on that Super Bowl team. Come on, who was that? It was Jarry Evans, and now it's escaping me. But they were really good along the interior that year. So that would be a consideration, but I think you got to go Darnold there. You got to work quarterback.
Here's the team I'm circling here and now. Hear me now. I don't know what's going on with Julio Jones right now, but that notwithstanding, I think the Falcons had a weird 2017, maybe Super Bowl hangover or whatever. I don't know what happened there, but they're going to bounce back big.
Chubb and Vic Beasley opposite.
Yeah, I like that quite a bit. And now we'll go to the north. Let's go with the Green Bay Packers.
The Green Bay Packers, Saquon Barkley.
Ooh, imagine that. Chicago Bears.
The Bears, I would go Chubb.
Detroit Lions.
I love Barkley, but I go Chubb there. The Lions, I would go Chubb. Oh, no. Take that back. I'll go Barkley.
Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, Barkley makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, Minnesota Vikings, they got, you know, Dalvin Cook coming back. Their roster, by the way, when you go through the process, they might have the best roster in the NFL.
And by the way, I feel like that's one of those things that we have kind of forgotten about is that Dalvin Cook, assuming he comes back right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that they remember when he got hurt, it was like, Vikings again, they're star-crossed. They had two seasons in a row. They start out well, and now they're not going anywhere. And
Quentin Nelson. Because I think they're ready to win right now, win a Super Bowl, and that would be a need for them.
Okay. I think we've rounded out the North there. So that leaves us with the NFC West, the San Francisco 49ers.
49ers, Chubb. Meh. Lost Barkley, signed McKinnon. Now, you know what? I flipped that. I'll go Barkley again. That's always a tough one when you when they could use an edge rusher, no question. But I just think Barkley's too special.
And do you have – I've heard some people say things along the lines of Jimmy G is better than any of the quarterbacks in the draft this year.
Well, just based off what we've seen him do on an NFL field is pretty darn impressive. But, you know, coming into the draft process, I think I had him in the early 30s. And grade-wise, I have this group ahead of him. But obviously, I can't lie. I mean, what we've seen for Jimmy G is pretty darn good.
Rams.
Rams, another roster that's in great shape. With the Rams, again, they might be a Nelson team. I'll give them Nelson.
Yeah, that's a fun, really.
Todd Gurley, you got Todd Gurley. You've got one of the best defensive lines. Although, you know what? They could use an edge rusher to complement all the other guys they've got up there. Lose Robert Quinn. So,
The Arizona Cardinals.
Darnold.
And let's bring it on home. See, they said we couldn't do it. And by they, I mean you. We couldn't get it done in time. It's the Seattle Seahawks.
The Seattle Seahawks, Saquon Barkley.
Well, was that good? Did you enjoy that? Was that illuminating in any way for you? Or was that kind of snoozy?
Yeah, it was okay.
MVP, give that a letter grade. Was all right? Or was it? I mean, I think it's interesting because it tells us a little. A C, DJ says.
Yeah.
Oh, he said that.
Yeah. Yeah. She whispered it. She just wouldn't say it.
With her eyes,
yeah.
She made it.
Yeah. She did. She speaks a lot with her eyes. Yeah.
DJ, we appreciate you making time for us in, like I say, what we know is your busiest week of the calendar year. We're proud of all your success. And
before I leave, can you do me one favor?
Post features about
as
you.
We're sitting in a
what do they have to say about
in
you?
A hotel room that looks like
draft
a
stuff.
Like a you use the term like a junket. Is that the correct
term?
Yeah,
that's
term? It. So most of these junkets, as I've seen, maybe one or two of them. When
which
I've
Avenger?
No. This is what I want you to do. So this is where you have to give an obnoxious sell of my quote-unquote movie, which is going to be you can do the podcast or the NFL draft, your choice. But act like when we know you really don't listen to it or are going to watch it, but just sell it like they sell it, even though you know they're full of it.
Hey, if you love pro football, then you're going to love the insights of this guy. He's the best in the business, Dan Jeremiah.
That was pretty weak.
Dan?
That wasn't very good. Yeah.
You go by Daniel.
Yeah, that's fine.
Jeremiah Daniel. That might be something that they would do. I'm a big fan of yours. I've seen all your work.
Want me to show you how it's done here real quick?
I would like you to.
Okay. Well, it's been a great visit here with Dave Demeshek, and I'm telling you guys right now, if you go see his movie, you will not be disappointed. The work he's done on network television over the last year, I'm going to be honest with you, it's some of the best work I've ever seen. The drama that he brought to that role as a sports player, something sports related, was truly remarkable. And I will go down in history and go to my grave thinking that the greats really come down to Pacino and Demeshek.
Let me tell you something. Well, I mean, that was something. Yes, make sure you check out the upcoming Move the Sticks. Guess who's joining them? Sam Darnold is going to be a part of that. Make sure you track down Move the Sticks, one of the great shows out there on iTunes. You know, I listen to it. I never miss a moment of the show. I mean, the thing I would say, I mean, it just seems like when I listen, it seems like you guys are having a lot of fun.
It's good. Talking football. And you don't listen to it.
I don't think.
So,
no, see,
such
that's
a liar.
Right. But see, don't you see
you're
that?
Such a liar.
That's a pro tip I just gave
that
you.
That was good.
I just gave you
that's
a great.
That's what I wanted.
I gave you a great pro tip, though. That's what you do when people whose work you don't like.
Yes, yes.
Solicit your
endorsement?
Your critique of what happened. Yeah. What did you. Ooh, I'm really anxious to hear what you think about this, Daniel. What do you think? Seems like, hey, seemed like you were having a lot of fun.
No, you can't refute that.
Right. Right.
That's great. That's
a
great tip.
Better yet, say to me, hey, what did you think?
Hey, what'd you think?
What can I say? You've done it again. There he goes, everybody.
But
Daniel
let's
Jeremiah.
Just, can we just close it with one thing here? Thankful for all that you've done to kind of start us both. I think, Bucky, you took us both under your podcast wing. And I feel like, I just feel like with the Around the NFL guys, I feel like you did the same thing for them. I don't know if you get any of that respect
now,
or appreciation.
We went one too far. That's it. You know, you were like, you know what? I always wanted to have a baby, and you and Bucky are that baby. Mm-hmm. And then I loved that baby, and I was like, you know what? Maybe two babies will be better than one baby. You know what? I was wrong.
Nope.
Thank you, Daniel Jeremiah.
Thank you, David.
You're listening to Dave Damashek. You're listening to Dave Damashek. You're listening to Dave Damashek.
Boy, what happened there? We only got 30 minutes. I could have got another 30 minutes easy with DJ there, MVP.
Most popular guy in town.
I know. I wanted to get deeper into the Lamar Jackson thing because them Bengals fans have been all over me since we did that mock draft show on Sunday night. They're very unhappy. It's as though they don't know that their QB is Andy Dalton. I don't know what they think. See, that's the crime of low expectations. This is how you wind up. Andy Dalton, and somebody actually texted me or tweeted me, how dare I talk that way about Andy Dalton? Don't I know how good he was in 2015? 3 years ago.
It was a great
year.
That seems like a weird
note to send out to advocate for somebody. Anywho, all right, these guys now, they have coached some big-time QBs, Favre, Steve Young, Andrew Luck and beyond. Here they come, the head coach from the Stanford Cardinal, David Shaw, and our pal, former NFL head coach. Obviously, I already covered him. Why I'm doing this again, I don't know. Let's just get to it. Mooch.
That's Dave Damashek.
Well, as you can tell, we're already pretty casual here. Coach Mooch setting the tone here. I thought also to help accentuate the casual tone I'd like to take here, I'm lounging on the couch, as you can see. You know, please make yourselves comfortable.
That's creepy at best.
All right. Well, listen. I don't need critiqued. I want to first of all say hello to the great head coach of the Stanford Cardinal. Bowl games and every season he's been the head man there. Double digit wins, almost an expectation now. Up in beautiful Palo Alto, here he is, Coach David Shaw. How are you? Thanks for coming in here.
I'm great. Good to see you both.
It's awesome that he comes in and does the draft every year. Are you kidding me?
It really is cool stuff.
It's hard to get a coach from college to come in, you know, day one or day two when their kids are getting drafted. This be on the set for 5 or 10 minutes because they're so darn busy. And he gives us this time, this quality time for several days, and prepares for the draft, for crying out loud.
It's also my only time to see Mooch, though.
I was just going to say.
We're hanging out.
I was just going to say, can I introduce you now? You know, it's here he is. He happened to coach a team that plays Stanford every year.
It's called the Big Game.
Right. Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, I heard there was a lateral thing on a kickoff that got crazy.
The man is on the field. How old were you then? Were you even born?
Oh, gosh. I was born. That was a long time ago, though.
82.
Yeah, still some questions about whether a knee was down or not. But
no, it was a score. Touchdown. Touchdown, Cal.
You know what? I'm with you, Coach Shaw. I really do. I don't want to be a buzzkill, but, you know, if there were instant replay, I don't think that touchdown would have stood. I really don't. I think they would have had to reverse it.
It would have gone upstairs for a while.
Yeah.
It would have gone a long upstairs. Time. That was a great call by Joe Starkey. That will live forever over in the Cal, by the locker rooms over there, by the Hall of Fame.
The band is on the field.
That trombone or that whatever the heck that thing, one of your you guys are probably trying to come and get it because it belongs to the
– I don't think any of us want to touch that.
It's all bent up. It's all bent out of shape, and it's framed, and it's up on the wall.
Perhaps the weirdest mascot in all of college sports is a tree. That's what they put a student in a tree costume, and he runs around. But anyway, it's Steve Mariucci, of course, longtime NFL coach as well as college coach. Let's start there quickly. Coach Shaw, people always, I mean, your name comes up every year, and you always demur and say you really love the life of Stanford. You have kids that maybe that has something to do with it. But explain to me, because I can see the virtues of both. Let's make, you know, you like, what should we do? Let's make a pros and cons list. Let's make a pros and college list. Why college? What's better about being a college head coach instead of an NFL head coach?
Well, I can't speak for anybody else except for myself and my family. And where I'm different is that I got into the NFL really early. I mean, I was 3 years out of college. I'm at the Philadelphia Eagles, and I got hooked up with John Gruden and had a great time and went with Brian Billick to the Baltimore Ravens. So I did 9 years in the NFL kind of right off the bat and then flipped to college later. So for me, the NFL doesn't hold some, you know, oh, my gosh, what is it like? I've already been there. I've coached in playoff games. I've coached Pro Bowlers. I've coached Hall of Fame guys. So for me, it's not that draw to get there because I've been there. And then to come back to a place like Stanford, that's my alma mater, which is a perfect fit for me and my family. Not to mention, I think we're still building. We've done really well, but I think we're still building, and we have a chance to do something special in the next few years.
Hmm. Coach Mooch, advocate for the NFL lifestyle over the college head coaching style. Like, at least you get – I imagine that you don't – when you're in college, you don't stay at the Ritz-Carlton as much as you do it when you're an NFL head coach, right? I mean, like the team. When you're traveling abroad.
I remember when I was first a college coach, Dave, I was coaching for Northern Michigan, the Northern Michigan University, and our recruiting budget was really small, and we would recruit downstate Michigan, you know, Grand Rapids and Saginaw and Detroit and Flint, and we only had a few hundred bucks in our pocket when we went down there. Another coach and I literally slept in our car one night just because we ran out of money to go see some more schools, man. It's back when you had a coat and tie on when you recruited. Right. That's what Stanford does now anyway. But I have some great memories. I have about 15 years of coaching in college. I have 14 years in the NFL, and now I have 13 years with television. And so I've loved them all. You know, I don't know if there's a choice that I would make. It's hard because it was so much fun in college. You can try to be impactful in these kids' lives.
Yeah,
try.
Absolutely.
He's got such great kids over there at Stanford. I really enjoyed, though, the pros. You know, it was the cream of the crop. It was the the guys that are great are so awesome to be around, whether it's the Steve Youngs or the Favres or the Reggie Whites or the Jerry Rices, and those kinds of guys are like, you know, I'm still in awe of them. And then there's some that drive you crazy too. So it's all good.
Who?
Jack, it's all good.
I can't think of anybody who would have driven you crazy when
Nobody
you were
drives.
In the NFL. Listen, let's do this because I want to talk about all that kind of stuff about the philosophy of coaching in the 21st century. But let's do the more down the middle, pay the bills kind of thing. And we have Coach Shaw here and Coach Mooch jump in as well. From you've obviously had to watch film on both Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold. You've had the game plan for them. What jumps out to you about what did you try to do? What did you try to take away from Sam Darnold? Actually, I don't want to ask anything. Just talk about how you game plan against Sam Darnold, first of all.
Well, first of all, for both those guys, I agree 100% that it was time for them to leave the conference and get as far away from us as possible. But Sam in particular, his anticipation, his pocket presence, his desire to extend plays and make plays, and his athleticism. It's hard to pinpoint one thing that's so good about him, because when he's on, it's special to watch. You go back to that Rose Bowl game a year ago against Penn State, and it was just phenomenal. It was as good as you can play the position of quarterback. I thought it was outstanding. And you can get to him. You can try to rattle him. It doesn't work. You might be able to sack him once in the game, but you're not going to get him two or three, four times. He's going to get away. He's going to buy time for those guys to get open down the field.
What jumps out as you look at Josh Rosen getting ready to play UCLA?
Well, the hard thing with Josh is that everybody's a viable option. No matter how far down the field, he can make tight window throws. He can make the big throw down the field. He'll check the ball down. He's outstanding in the pocket. We talk so much about pocket movement, and it's subtle. You know, just sliding, keeping your eyes down the field. He can throw the ball with guys in his face. He can throw the ball into tight windows. He made three throws against us that were NFL throws that not many college guys can make, and that's what you get when you get Josh Rosen.
I got a question for him, if I may.
Please, Coach. The floor is yours.
So they were both California kids coming out of high school, so go back to the recruiting time for each of those guys. What did you get involved with recruiting them, or where did that go?
Well, you know, Sam was one of those guys.
San Clemente High School, huh?
Yeah, Sam was really, really good. He was a great athlete. Had some injury issues throughout his career. We all kind of felt like he was going to USC. I think everybody on the West Coast kind of figured he was going there anyway. So I think everybody kind of threw their hat in just to kind of see how it was going. But I think we knew he was going to USC.
Okay.
Josh was the, you know, unquestioned top quarterback in America. We had some tough decisions to make because we I like to take a break and not take a quarterback in every single class. I know not everybody does that. And that was that year for us. So we thought about it. We came to camp and, of course, put on a show. His outstanding quarterback.
He was at your Stanford camp in the summer?
Yeah. He did just a few camps, which a guy of his stature doesn't need to, but he did. And it was great. But we chose not to take a quarterback that year. So we took a break that year. And, you watch him and you say, wow.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to me. And it's, you know, Josh Rosen, I think the thing that over the last few months has emerged is that he likes to read books, shame the devil. You know, that somehow being cerebral is not something you want in your QB. And maybe, I mean, he's definitely got some gunslinger to him. And I think he was maybe put in that position based on the talent around him there at UCLA. But, you know, and Coach Mooch, you mentioned Steve Young and Brett Favre. What do you like better as the head coach? Do you like the game manager guy, or do you like do you like the guy who rolls the dice?
You know, you want to take that one, Mooch?
You're not going to get me, because when I was at, listen, Dave, I'm sure you've been through this. When I first took the job at the Niners, I was a wet behind the ears, still am. Somebody asked me a question. Who do you like better, Steve Young or the Brett Favre kind of thing? So like an idiot, I said, well, they're two different guys, right? They're two polar opposite kind of guys here. Brett Favre, he's the tough guy. He's the toughest guy ever in the world, you know? And then you got Steve Young, who is really smart. Like kind of where you're going right now, Shaq. So I answered it kind of like that. Well, little did I realize I'm going to get grief from both guys.
Absolutely.
Go, what? I'm not tough? And Favre, what? I'm not smart enough? And so you can't win. You can't win when you compare guys like that, Shaq. All right. So what was your question anyway?
Well, listen, I mean, that's a sort of a comp that you would make now. Josh Rosen, there are people even, you know, I'm not sure exactly what Jim Mora was insinuating, but the notion that Sam Darnold's a better fit in Cleveland, and we talked to Daniel Jeremiah and DJ says, oh, it's cold and it's muddy in Cleveland and his more rugged build will stand up better in Josh Rosen. I don't know. I mean, this has become now for the last 6 weeks, MVP over there can tell you that this is something that I cannot let go of, is the notion that blue collar towns only can, or they're built to appreciate a certain kind of guy. If they would have drafted Dan
Marino, and you just got
if they would have had Dan Marino lighten it up, it would have been like, he's unrelatable to us. You know, right. We're blue collar folk. Like, what? What does that mean?
NFL fan bases appreciate winning.
That's right.
If you don't win, then they'll find something wrong with you. That's just kind of the way it goes for the head coach and the quarterback. That's just how it is. If you win, they love you. If you don't win, they're looking for somebody else.
Do you buy though that Josh Rosen can stand up? Let's say he goes to one of those Rust Belt teams. Do you suppose that there might be? Maybe I'm not being cynical enough. Maybe I am naive. Will Josh Rosen be a tough fit in like I say, a place like Cleveland?
To me, that's kind of going outside the scope, right? When you put the film on and you watch the guy play the position, he can throw the ball. He can operate in the pocket. He can move you down the field. He's outstanding. So whatever talent it's in, if he can go move the team down the field and get the ball in the end zone, they could care less what his personality is or whether he's a fit for a rustic town. It doesn't matter. They're coming to the stadium to watch their team win.
So I look at skin, Dave. Mm-hmm. You know what that means?
No.
Thickness of the skin. Because I think whoever goes to Cleveland, it needs to have some real thick skin. Because I think there's a real there will be a growing pains, and there will be some hard times. And whoever it is, and he starts playing early, whether it's Darnold or Baker Mayfield or Josh Rosen or Bernie Kosar, I don't care who it is, taking over this team that's just, they're 1-31, all right? So there's some building to do. You better have some thick skin, because you're going to go through the boos and the losses and the ups and the downs and the expectations, but they're not going to come as fast as somebody else on a good team. You know, and remember the Elway, or I'm sorry, the Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf thing. Ryan Leaf was as talented as all get out. Absolutely. You remember that.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was a coin flip with a lot of teams. Who was better than Peyton Manning or Ryan Leaf? Ryan Leaf didn't handle the adversity very well. He didn't handle losing and taking criticism from the media and those sort of things. And I say that because whoever goes and plays as a young quarterback to Cleveland will have to be, will have to handle that and be okay with it and say, you know, we'll be all right. We'll, you know, and it's that kind of a kid. Is it Josh Rosen? Maybe it is. Maybe he can handle that very well.
And doesn't it feel, though, to me, see, the situation that seems potentially combustible is Baker Mayfield with the Jets and getting booed, or, you know, a tough media and fan base. I feel like if he feels like they don't love me, you know, they're booing me, I feel like that's what could get sideways. You know, I it's not so much that, hey, he reads too many books.
You mean Baker Mayfield might gesture across the field to the media or something?
That's the one I'm, you know, but aside from players, coaches, you guys both have ties to perhaps, well, probably in my opinion, when it's all said and done, the greatest pro football coach of all time, Bill Walsh. And I feel like he personifies this transition. And correct me if I'm wrong. Obviously, I'm not around him on a daily basis like you guys were. But from the outside looking in a world of Bob Knights and Bill Parcells to some degree, I feel like Bill Walsh, you know, the at least outwardly, was the cerebral guy, was not an in-your-face guy, questioning your manhood and all that sort of thing. Is there such a thing in the 21st century as an old school kind of break you down and build you back up and make you into a man kind of thing?
Well, I think if you dig enough and talk to enough guys that played for Bill, you'll get a million different stories. Bill was a master at getting guys to play. And for some guys, he was going to get in their face and question them. And some guys, he's going to go back behind them and put his arm around them. Bill did whatever he thought was necessary to get guys to play at the highest level. So just to say that about Bill. But I think today's a little different. Today's young people are different. But you still have to challenge them. You have to challenge them. You have to push them. You have to find out, quote unquote, what their buttons are. You don't have to do it in a behind the back sneaky manner necessarily. But you give them a platform to perform and challenge them and do whatever it takes to get guys to play together and play at their best.
Is that the lesson, coach? Is that it's not one size fits all? I went to Indiana University. I cheered for those Hoosiers basketball teams with Coach Knight, but I also always knew, well, I couldn't make it with that guy. I would weep in 5 minutes into the first practice, and then he would kick me out, and that would be the end of our relationship. Is it now you do have to understand the individuals on your roster?
I think too, the guys that went to play for Bobby Knight knew what they're getting into, and they were kind of guys that liked to be coach hard. If they didn't want that or need that, I think they'd go elsewhere. You know, same with a Nick Saban over there at Alabama. He's got certain ways. You know, he's kind of like the.
I guess
the
yes, Belichick. Nick Saban does. He's stand pretty, out.
You know, a guy like David is got away with all kinds of kids, whether they're the brilliant student athlete or the guy that came from a tough background. He's got a chance. He's got a way of himself to have a relationship with it. I think if you have a relationship with those kids, you can coach them pretty darn hard, and they'll respect you and listen to you and respond. If they don't have a relationship, or if they don't respect David Shaw or Mariucci or whoever that coach is, man, it's hard to coach anybody. And so I think that it starts with recruiting. It starts with your reputation, and that's why he can coach these kids so hard year after year, because they respect what he does and who he is, and he has a relationship with them and their families.
Let's talk about the Cal Stanford rivalry a little bit, because Coach Mooch said he wanted to do that. You know, the most important position in football, they say, is the quarterback spot. Who's had better quarterbacks, Cal or Stanford? Mm.
I don't even know if this is even a debate. I don't know if you want to run down the Cal list. And
well, you got okay. The best of all right. Time on the Cal
run.
Side.
Let's run. Okay, so Steve Bartkowski was the first pick in the draft.
He's outstanding.
Do you remember Joe Roth? Do you remember Joe Roth in 75? He was a terrific quarterback.
I was 3 years old.
I know, but he read a history book, and he died of leukemia, Dave.
Did he?
Yeah, I mean, just right after he got done playing. Oh. Terrible story, awful. Great quarterback. You know, you're talking about guys like Aaron Rodgers. You know him?
He's pretty doggone he's pretty good.
Kyle Bowler went in the first round. I had a guy named Troy Taylor and Mike Pulowski when I was there. They were good, really good quarterbacks, not great pros. But who else am I missing? Gail Gilbert, Joe Capp. You were just a kid when he played, 59.
He was a coach at some point. Yeah.
Okay, who else? My missus. But I guess we get the stick on Aaron Rodgers because he's kind of holding down the fort right now.
Matter of fact,
Jared Goff?
I was just going to say, Coach is another guy who had a good sophomore.
All right, you go.
I'll just give you a few. Luck, Elway, Plunkett.
Are we still talking about this?
Yeah,
I like that Mooch needed about 9 minutes to qualify why. Has Mooch ever told you about, he's a savvy guy. I don't know, the weather in Palo Alto is generally pretty nice, but if you ever have to travel, I know Oregon and Washington, it can get sideways sometimes later in the season there. Coach Mooch, give him a tip about how you used to keep Brett Favre and company warm when it was cold up in Lambeau.
Well, first you forget Gatorade or water over on the sidelines. It's chicken bouillon, okay? It's so good.
By the way, I think that is one of the greatest things, that they give you guys chicken soup on the side.
And then
I hope the other side doesn't get it, though.
Heck no. We give them cold, chilled water with lemon in it or something. But so at halftime, and there was always two games a year at Lambeau that were like, that's why they call it the frozen tundra. And so there was a sauna right outside of the locker room, and our quarterback meeting was in the sauna, and Ty Dittmer would be pouring water on the rocks and be steaming up, and Favre would be like, oh, this is awesome, this is good. And I'd be trying to coach him. He goes, just relax, I got to think about this heat for a minute. And so we would have our meeting in the sauna at halftime just to talk about what's going on and warm up. The stupidity of it all was if you're in there for 10 minutes, you start sweating, or all that moisture gets on you and you're like wet, right? You gotta go back out and play the second half.
It freezes, doesn't it?
by the time they run on the field, it's like it's frozen again, and it was the worst thing ever. But for 10 minutes, it was the best meeting of all time, and we look forward to it.
Mike Holmgren looking over. What happened to Favre?
They're in the sauna.
Favre's been terrible since we came out of the locker room for the second half. What happened, Mooch?
Water on the rocks. Oh my God.
Coach Shaw, one thing that's always stuck in my craw is so you can use that sauna trick, I think. But I think what we've learned today is that you shouldn't use it.
Not going to happen, but that's okay.
They don't have one at Stanford.
See, that's in favor of pro football there. Coach Shaw, though, it's always bothered me, and I wonder, mild-mannered as you come off, how much does it bug you that the Final Four didn't exist in the year that I always feel like Stanford should have gotten its shot at LSU? How much is that? Does that bother you, or do you just move on?
You know, I don't waste emotion on things I can't change. I do believe Coach Harbaugh's last year at Stanford, I thought we were one of the top teams in America. About my first year, 2011, we were one of the best teams in America as well. This is before the 14 playoff. So you can't go back and worry about those things. All you can do is try and put yourself in position again to get to one of those games.
Hang on, Chuck. So do you like the four-game playoff, Dave?
I think the four-game playoff is outstanding as long as it's on our way to an eight-game playoff.
That was going to be my follow-up question, too.
Yes. I'll tell you what.
I think it's great right now. I really do. But for me, what's going to happen, I truly believe, is that every year it's like an experiment. Every year you get more data. Every year you get more data. And every single year you can point to three teams that have a legitimate gripe about not being in the playoff.
We had Mike Hughes over in the studio the other day, right? UCF, undefeated. I go, are you guys the champs? He goes, yeah, we are national champs. And so, I mean, I don't even know if they would have got in if there were eight. If you go five conferences.
I think if there was a committee, if the committee had opened its scope and was going to take the top eight teams, it would be hard to keep a UCF out.
It'd be hard, yeah.
Yeah, I think they'd have to go, but I'm just a pedigree snob, and I love the idea that And UCF now is it now has corrupted this and makes me think maybe we do now have to go to at least six and have three through six play 1 week and the top two get a bye, something along those
maybe
lines.
Maybe that's the next step.
Which is probably the next step, but yeah, go ahead.
I would do it that way because the thing that makes college football its postseason superior to any other out there is that it remains a meritocracy because, I mean, UCF notwithstanding, I feel like, how many times is there a team that is fifth in the nation that has any claim to being the best team in the country? That almost never happens. I mean, it's a real anomaly. You could be Stanford or Oklahoma State a few years ago and make a case, you know, we really deserve our shot because we're really the best team in the country. There's not a fifth or a sixth ranked team out there that's like, hey,
you know, the first year of the playoff, TCU and Baylor were phenomenal.
The Big 12 got left out.
They were outstanding. You could have taken either one or both of those teams in a playoff. So I think every year there are a couple of teams that you look at and say, gosh, you know, Penn State, you know, who won the Big Ten, who played outstanding football, they got left on the outside a year ago. So I think every year there's going to be a couple of teams that have a legitimate, you know, gripe, or especially if you win your conference. You did everything you could to win your conference and you get left out. Those are difficult conversations.
And win the conference championship game, that's what you're talking about. Win the championship
game.
Okay, yeah. So then would you propose the five major conferences to all get in? They're in.
Yes.
And then three more at large?
I would say at some point, yes. But I agree with Dave that it might be five and then one at large team. And then to the top two teams, once you see them, they get a bye, and then you kind of work the rest of it out.
It only makes sense.
What would have been the best is, on some level, is if Texas would have joined the Pac-12 or whatever it would have been called at that point. Because if that would have happened, then you would have had pretty naturally four power conferences. And then that would have yielded four teams that automatically get in. And then you go with two wild cards, a UCF and that runner up in the most rugged conference. Those are your two wild cards. I think that would be a good system.
So basically we're saying anything but four.
I'm fine. No, I can go back to the four. You know, but you know what? I advocate for old school Major League Baseball when two teams won their respective pennants and they played a best of nine. Now we don't have any dead. No flukes can happen. I know maybe I'm curmudgeonly, but all right. That at least merit wins out. Last question for you, Coach Shaw. And Coach Mooch, you know, we were talking, like I say, to Jeremiah, and it really is hard to fathom that, you know, 2012 Andrew Luck was almost given a gold jacket before he ever took a snap in the NFL. It's hard to believe that just a decade later, we're wondering if he's going to play, if he's going to play at that same level. Any insight? I assume that, you're at least semi-aware of what's going on with Andrew.
I think all signs are good. Andrew's worked his tail off since really about mid-season. I know he's taken some trips, works with a lot of different people, came back to Stanford and worked for a while to get his body right. I think he made some decisions in the past, which he said publicly multiple times, where he's going to power through. He's a tough guy. He works hard. He wants to be there for his teammates. And he got to the point where he's not making himself better. So he had to take a step back, which for a true competitor, right, drives you nuts. But to see the look in his eye now, to see the shape that his body's in now, to see how close he is to being back able to throw. Because, I mean, don't forget now, like, he dropped this guy on the worst team in football and took him to the playoffs 3 years in a row. Mm-hmm. The guy's phenomenal. And to see him back now in great shape and with that desire to get back, he's taken enough time away. His body's feeling good inside and out. And I'm looking forward to seeing him sling the ball up in Indianapolis.
Think about what he just said. You know, any of these rookie quarterbacks that are going to get drafted this year, Andrew Luck went 11-5 3 years in a row. He won, and he carried that team on his back. It's just, it's so, we all have our fingers crossed because he hasn't thrown a ball in over a year. I know he's maybe got a little ball, you know, Nerf ball like you play with your kids in the backyard. But, man, the league needs him to play. The league, not just the Colts, the league needs Andrew Luck because he was one of the prized possessions in over a decade as a draft choice, and he's a good voice and face for the league. He makes things more competitive, And man alive, we're just all keeping our fingers crossed that he shows up and starts day one and can stay healthy, because we need him.
And to Coach Shaw's point, yeah, I hope that he gets more practical. The roster loads up this week and beyond for his sake. I feel like some teams, you know, that's the connection, Stanford, Cal. I feel like in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, that they at some point accepted the premise, we have a do-it-all QB, ergo, we don't have to build anything around him. We should do, you know, I feel like Andrew Luck, to some degree, didn't get the benefit of hasn't been able to be on a great roster yet and still is finding his way into January every time he's out there. So certainly, yeah, and a delightful guy too. For you know, even though I once offered to shave him because he has that beard, I said, can I give you a shave? It would be great. And he said no.
He obviously sees that you don't know how to shave.
All right, that's the end of this. It's because I don't have a head of hair like you, Mooch. It doesn't mean that I don't know what I'm doing. All right, listen, Coach Mooch, Coach Shaw, thank you so much for the time. I know it's a busy week for you guys. Have a great time talking about all things NFL draft. Have a great time, and that's it. That's it for the show. We'll talk to you later in the week. Who do we have MVP coming up?
We have Carson Palmer. Oh,
Carson Palmer?
We have the first round draft picks.
Oh, yes. We got the yes. Listen, bottom line, we have a lot of good stuff coming up.
Can we hang around for that?
Sure. Yeah, you can just hang
out. Some autographs?
But you don't get the couch. The couch belongs to me. You have to sit
down. You know, have you ever done an interview with a guy on a couch?
This is a first for me.
I'm getting really more uncomfortable as this goes on. Now, move over.
My twin therapist. When I was a kid growing up. All right. That's it for the DDFP today. We'll talk to you later in the week from Dallas, Texas. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.